السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
In this age, disorder and turmoil has spread everywhere in the world. At some places, it is spread in the name of religion, and at others, for asserting worldly power and superiority. Whilst in some instances, it is spread due to a battle between poverty and abundance, and at others, due to political parties taking control of the ruling powers. In some places, there are quarrels and turmoil due to minor issues at the domestic level. And in other places, fights, disturbances, disorder, and turmoil are arising due to people not fulfilling each other's rights. In some cases, efforts are being made to spread disorder by asserting racial supremacy, and in others due to gaining rights by wrongful means. In short, from whatever angle one observes, one finds that the world is engulfed in disorder and turmoil. Neither the poor nor the rich are safe from this. And neither the developed nations, and nor the less developed or developing ones are safe from this. It seems that mankind, which considers itself to have become very advanced in this age, and thinks that this is the age of science, rationality, and enlightenment, is in actuality immersed in darkness. And after having forgotten about God Almighty, it is heading to the pit of destruction whilst running after this world and considering it to be its Lord. In fact, it has come very close to that pit of destruction. And so, under such circumstances, one may understand to an extent that the reason for the non-Muslim world immersing in the worldly attractions and glare is because corruption has occurred in their religion. Their religion does not present a comprehensive and complete solution in terms of guiding them towards Allah the Almighty. However, one is amazed about the Muslims, who have a comprehensive and a complete scripture in its original form. Moreover, God Almighty has, according to His promises, sent the Imam of the age, and he was to correct the false image or the dissension regarding the faith or the commentaries of the Holy Quran, which had occurred due to the differences among the clerics. However, instead of listening to and hearkening to this appointed one and the Prophet of God Almighty, which would have brought an end to all the disputes, instead, the majority of the Muslims have followed those clerics who are creating disorder in the name of religion. And they are not prepared to listen to the ones sent by God Almighty because they are following these clerics. Although God Almighty has arranged for the disorder in the world to come to an end, and for the inculcation of mutual love and brotherhood, and for God Almighty to be recognized, but Muslims are not prepared to pay any heed to it. And thus it is for this reason that the Muslim world is at the forefront of being afflicted from all kinds of disorder. Their religious as well as worldly leaders are pushing them into darkness. And inhabitants of the same countries are thirsty for each other's blood. And thus, taking advantage of this situation, the foreign world, in particular the non-Muslim powers, are supplying military hardware and assistance in order to cause the groups of Muslims to fight against each other, and in order to derive benefit from it. Thus, this is a source of great agony, and where such condition should turn the attention of those who have accepted the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, as well as the general body of Muslims who have not accepted him towards prayers, we are also in need of paying heed towards transforming our practical state and our spiritual state in accordance with what the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, desires to see within us. And the reason for this is that if our practical state is not in accordance with what the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, desires to see within us, then it is very possible that we may fall into the category of those who are engulfed in disorder and turmoil. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has continuously and repeatedly guided his Jamaat as to what their state should be following the Ba'th, i.e. the oath of initiation, and also what methods should be adopted for this purpose. At this moment, I will present various extracts of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam's writings, which draw our attention towards these matters. Therefore, we should listen to them attentively, and do not consider it sufficient, since you have previously heard or read them numerous times before, because we forget even after having read or heard them. Moreover, the regularity and the various manner in which the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has mentioned these matters, and the continuous emphasis he has laid on the Jamaat towards improving their practical state in his gatherings, which are spread over several years, this indicates how concerned the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, was for his Jamaat, so that they may not forget their objective. And also, so that they may not go astray after having done the bath, i.e. taking the oath of initiation with the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and so that they may not tread towards darkness once again. On one occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "It is necessary for our Jamaat to adopt righteousness in this time of disorder, wherein a gust of misguidance, ignorance, and depravity is blowing from every direction. The state of the world is such that the grandeur of the commandments of Allah the Almighty is no longer visible, and the rights and guidance are being neglected. They are neither aware of their rights and how to discharge them, and nor are they aware of the teaching given to them, or which they themselves preach to others, or which was preached to them. They are engrossed in worldly affairs beyond measure, and observing the slightest loss in worldly terms, they abandon religious aspects and the rights of God Almighty. Just as one can similarly observe amongst litigators, or when it comes to sharing the wealth amongst the inheritors. They conduct themselves towards one another with greed. They are extremely weak when confronted by their personal sentiments, and they are overtaken by their personal sentiments at the slightest incidents. They do not dare to commit sins as long as God Almighty has caused them to remain weak. That is, they do not commit sins as they are weak and are afraid of being caught and punished. However, as soon as they gain some strength and see an opportunity to commit a sin, they swiftly do so. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, "Today, in this age, you may look everywhere. However, you will only find that true righteousness no longer exists, and neither true faith. However, as God Almighty does not desire to waste the seed of their true righteousness and faith, He causes a new crop to grow as He observes the previous crop at the brink of ruin. When one generation or crop is being ruined, God Almighty creates another crop. What is intended here is that if a generation or a number of people or a nation is ruined, then He will create other nations, and indeed He does so." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states that everlasting Holy Quran is among us in relation to which God Almighty stated, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." That is, that verily we ourselves have sent down this exhortation, and most surely will we be its guardian. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "There is a large collection of the ahadith, i.e. the traditions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, among us as well, and also the blessings. However, the hearts are void of faith, and the practical state is not at all visible. That is the very reason Allah the Almighty has raised me, so that I may once again develop these aspects. When God observed that the field is barren, then the requisition of His divinity did not at all desire for this field to remain empty. If vices are spreading, it was the requisition of the honour of Allah the Almighty and the dignity of the requisition of His divinity to once again fill that field with such people, or to create such people who give precedence to faith over the world, and who implement religion, and who spread religion, and who act in accordance with their religion." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, "God did not at all desire for this field to remain barren and for people to remain distant from Him. Therefore, God Almighty, in contrast to those people, now wishes to create another nation of living people, and for this very reason we preach, that you may acquire a life of taqwa, i.e. righteousness. Thus, if an Ahmadi has done the bath, i.e. taken the oath of initiation, he will have to join the living, the spiritually living people, otherwise there is no benefit of the bath. Will it be sufficient for this new nation to merely verbally proclaim that we will become that new nation? Certainly not. As a matter of fact, for this, they will have to transform their practical condition and develop true righteousness. It is only then that we will be able to become that new nation, those who comprehend the truth of Islam. And it is only then we will be able to become those people who attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. And only then we will be able to truly fulfill our pledge of Bayt, i.e. the oath of initiation that we have taken. What is the truth of Islam and how can we obtain it? In relation to this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that Islam means to completely devote oneself to God Almighty, and its essence is true and absolute obedience towards God. A Muslim is one who devotes his entire being to God Almighty and desires to attain the pleasure of God Almighty without the desire of any reward. Man aslama wajhahu lillahi wa huwa muhsin. That is, that whoever submits himself completely to Allah and is the doer of good. In other words, a Muslim is he who devotes his entire being in order to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and whose spiritual and practical objective and purpose is the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Furthermore, of all the virtues and good deeds performed by him, they should not be performed with a great struggle and difficulty. Rather, they should be performed with a sense of pleasure and delight. If we are to perform virtues, and if we are to act in accordance with the commandments of Allah the Almighty, we should not do so by considering it to be a great burden upon our shoulders. Rather, a person should feel pleasure and delight in every virtuous act. He should do it wholeheartedly. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, this should transform every form of difficulty into ease and pleasure. He further states, a true Muslim loves God Almighty by saying and believing that He is my beloved and my master and my creator and benefactor. And it is for this reason that he places his head on his threshold. And even if a true Muslim is told that he will not receive any reward for these deeds, and that there is no hell, no heaven, no comforts, and no delights, however, he will still not be able to refrain from performing good deeds and loving God. This is selfless love towards God Almighty, which the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, desires to establish, that it should not be done for any reward, and not out of the fear of hell, and not in order to attain heaven. Rather, one should have pure love for Allah the Almighty. One should love God Almighty, even if nothing is received. And the reason for this is that worshipping God Almighty, forming a relationship with Him, and being completely devoted and obedient towards Him is not based on any reward or desire. Rather, in reality, such a person considers himself to have merely been created in order to comprehend God Almighty and to love Him and to be obedient towards Him, and that he does not have any personal objective or purpose. Therefore, when a person utilizes all his God-given abilities for these objectives and purposes, he witnesses the countenance of his true beloved. When you selflessly establish a relationship with Allah the Almighty, you will see the countenance of God Almighty. That is when a true relationship is formed. He does not glance towards heaven or hell. Rather, he looks into the direction of the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Describing his own state of being engulfed in the love of Allah the Almighty, The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, I say that if I am assured that I will be given the severest of punishments for loving God Almighty and obeying Him, then I swear that my nature has become such that I am ready to tolerate these afflictions and trials with pleasure and with the passion of love. And despite knowing this, whatever punishment and affliction is meted out, it will never be worse than stepping even a foot outside of the obedience of God Almighty. And this is worse than 1,000 deaths, rather endless deaths, and all kinds of misfortunes. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states that a true believer would consider abandoning a command of Allah the Almighty as the cause of his destruction. And no matter how much luxury and comfort he is promised for disobeying God Almighty. He further states, thus, in order to become a true believer, it is necessary to develop such a nature where the love and obedience to God is not based on hope and fear of some reward or punishment. Rather, it should be an innate part of his character. And then this love itself will form a paradise, and this in reality is the true paradise. Otherwise, none can enter heaven until he adopts this way. This is why I say to you, I, those who associate yourselves with me, to tread this path, as it is the true path to paradise. Therefore, this is the bond and love for God Almighty that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, wishes and hopes to see in us. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, clearly stated that we must demonstrate full obedience to the commandments of Allah the Almighty. Just to attain the pleasure of God Almighty is no easy feat. Rather, it is something for which we must make exerted efforts, and only then will the purpose of being an Ahmadi be fulfilled. Hence, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, himself raised the question as to whether obedience is an easy matter. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, one who does not obey fully brings the name of this community to disrepute. There is not just one commandment. In fact, there are numerous such commandments. Just as there are several doors to heaven, where one enters through one door and another enters through another. Similarly, there are also several doors to hell, and it should not be the case that you close off one door whilst leaving another open. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, then states, bear in mind that by merely enrolling one's name does not enter someone into the Jamaat, i.e. the community. I.e. just by having your names written down is not something which will make you part of this community, until and unless that essence is created in you. So love one another, do not usurp the rights of one another, i.e. do not assume the rights of each other, and become completely absorbed in the way of God Almighty, so that He may shower blessings upon you. And outside of this, there is nothing. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, clearly stated that in order to attain the blessings of Allah the Almighty, it is imperative to have complete faith and carry out virtuous deeds. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that the practical example of this is like when one merely utters sweets and sugar, but it cannot fill one's mouth with a sweet taste until sweet food is not actually consumed. In the same way, to merely utter one's love for God and declare His oneness is of no benefit until and unless there is the practical aspect to it. And this practical aspect will only be proven when one ends his inclination to the world and gives preference to his faith. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, stated that our community desires to please God Almighty. Therefore, give priority to the faith. If you too wish to please God Almighty, then give preference to your faith. Your first priority should be your faith. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, also warned us that if you possess no devotion and sincerity, then you are false, and in such circumstances one will perish even before the enemy if he has no devotion. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, stated that God Almighty cannot be misled or deceived, and nor can anyone deceive him. Therefore, it is necessary that you develop true devotion and sincerity in you. Then, further elaborating in regards to giving preference to faith over the world, and how one can attain this, and how the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, attain this, and how one should make effort towards this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, observe, there are two kinds of people. The first are those who accept Islam and remain busy in worldly pursuits, and Satan prevails over them. I do not mean to say that it is forbidden to do business or to do any worldly tasks. Of course not. The companions also partook in their work of trade, but they gave preference to faith over the world. They accepted Islam and gained true knowledge regarding Islam, which indeed filled their hearts. This is the reason why they did not falter from any of Satan's attacks, and he was unable to assault them and prevail over them. They did have worldly dealings, but they would always keep God Almighty in mind, and nothing could prevent them from expressing the truth. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states that what I mean by this is that those who are completely absorbed in the world and become a slave to it, as if they adore it, these are the ones upon whom Satan prevails and takes control of. The second kind of people are those who are constantly thinking about the progress of their faith. These are the ones who are called Hizbullah, i.e. the party of Allah, and overcome Satan and his forces. Seeing as wealth is a byproduct of trading, thus God Almighty has declared the desire to call to faith and the progress of the religion as a kind of trade. Hence, God Almighty states, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That is, shall I point out to you a bargain that will save you from a painful punishment? The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that the best trade is that of faith, which will save you from the painful punishment. Hence, I too say in these words of God Almighty that هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That is, shall I point out to you a bargain that will save you from a painful punishment? I have more hope in those who do not diminish in their passion for the progress of faith. As for those who decrease in this passion, I fear that Satan may prevail over them. In other words, those who are not resolute and do not give preference to faith over the world, then they start becoming lazy, and slowly but surely such people fall into the grip of Satan. Therefore, one should never become slack. Whatever one does not understand, he should ask about it so that he can increase in his knowledge. It is not forbidden to ask questions, and one should still ask even if he disagrees. If someone does not accept a certain thing while we are preaching to them, then it is their right to inquire and ask questions. And for a believer who wishes to progress in his deeds, then it is necessary for him to gain knowledge and ask questions. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, those who desire to progress in their knowledge should read and ponder over the Holy Quran. And wherever he is unable to understand something, he should ask. If he does not comprehend any meanings, he should ask of others and benefit from doing so. The Promised Messiah states, the Holy Quran is a sea of knowledge, and in the depths of this ocean are large precious pearls and priceless gems. On one occasion, while drawing the attention of the Jama'at towards taqwa, i.e. righteousness, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, I have been commissioned in order to establish righteousness. The field of piety is vacant. Righteousness should be practiced instead of raising the sword. Swords should not be raised to kill other people, which is being practiced by certain organizations and terrorist groups today in the name of Islam. Rather, if you desire to spread the faith and propagate it, then the first step is to develop righteousness within oneself. Everything starts to happen gradually once righteousness is established. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, instructed to not raise the sword, as it is forbidden to do so. He states, the entire world will support you if you practice righteousness. Therefore, obtain righteousness. Those who drink alcohol or the people who practice a faith that allows drinking as a norm, they have no relation with piousness. They are at war with virtue. Hence, if God Almighty grants our Jama'at the good fortune and the ability to combat evil, and they advance in the field of righteousness and purity, then this would be a great accomplishment. And nothing can be more effective than this. We are not to fight equipped with a sword. Rather, we are to combat our souls in order to procure righteousness, and afterwards one can convey the message to others. And through this, people will not be offended if this method is adopted. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, at this time, if you look at all the religions of the world, their true purpose lacks righteousness, and they have deemed the attractions of this world as their God. The one true God is hidden and is not in sight, and is dishonored. However, God desires that he is accepted, and the world comes to recognize him. Those who consider this world to be their God cannot demonstrate complete trust in him. Therefore, there is a need for everyone to analyze themselves as to whether or not they are paying more focus towards fulfilling their worldly objectives and neglecting their due rights towards God Almighty. And is their attention focused more towards fulfilling worldly goals? In order to fulfill the due rights of God Almighty, then we must give priority to faith and must give little value to worldly endeavors. Therefore, we have to remain cognizant of the reality that we are giving precedence to faith or have worldly endeavors prevailed over it. Are we advancing in righteousness or is our condition deteriorating? On one occasion, whilst directing our attention towards increasing one's spirituality and developing a relation with God Almighty and increasing one's religious knowledge, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, that the relationship between a mentor and their disciple can be understood when compared to a relation of a teacher and its student. A student benefits from its teacher in a similar manner that a disciple does from its mentor. However, a student cannot gain any benefit from its teacher by establishing a relationship with them, but not advancing in their education. And so is the condition of a disciple. A student cannot attain any benefit if they have a connection with their teacher and they are well acquainted with them. However, they do not increase in their knowledge and do not practice what they learn. Likewise, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that similar is the case between a mentor and a disciple. A disciple cannot attain any benefit by merely saying, I have a connection with my mentor. until he acts upon the things that he teaches him. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "In this regard, one should increase their knowledge of God. Hence, the seeker of truth should not remain stagnant after reaching one stage. Otherwise, Satan, the accursed, will lead such a person to another direction. The example of such a person is similar to stagnant water that becomes rancid after a while and later on produces a very foul stench. Likewise, if a believer does not endeavor to make progress, then they regress. The feet of true believers always advance forward, and if you remain stationary in one place, then you will not only remain there, rather you will fall back further." The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that it is the duty of a believer to seek religion on a continuous basis. There is no perfect human being apart from our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who lived on this earth. But even he was taught the prayer, that Rabbi zidni ilma, that O my Lord, increase me in my knowledge. So which other human can remain stagnant by having complete trust in the understanding of God's knowledge and not deem future progress as a necessity? As a human being continues to advance in their knowledge and insight of God, they will continue to learn that there are plenty of things that must be sought. In the beginning, human beings consider certain affairs completely absurd, just like a child who is introduced to geometrical shapes for the first time, but at last they witness those things as the truth and reality. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary to remain obedient in order to improve in one's condition along with increasing one's knowledge. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that you have abandoned many vain things and accepted this movement. And unless you acquire the complete knowledge and insight about this, then what benefit will you gain? To simply say that we have taken the oath of initiation, i.e. the Bayt, and we have become Ahmadis, or that we are born Ahmadis, will not amount to any benefit until you obtain the knowledge for yourself. There will be no benefit of being a born Ahmadi or otherwise if you do not increase your knowledge. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, "Why will there be any strength in your conviction and divine insight if you do not increase your knowledge? You will counter feelings of doubtfulness and suspicion over petty matters, which might result into shaking your foundation. There are many people who remain behind, or those who criticize, or those who remain Ahmadis only because their relatives are Ahmadis. And so, such people do not attain any benefit. If they obtain the knowledge, then all their doubts and suspicions can be addressed, and as a result, their feet will not regress, and Satan will not attack them. It is for this reason that the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has advised us to contemplate and ponder over the Holy Quran. Similarly, we should also focus our attention to reading his books and increase our religious knowledge. In this manner, we should also endeavor to establish a relationship with Khilafat. In this regard, we should form a connection with the Khalifa of the time through the blessings of MTA and should attain benefit from all his programs. There are many who have formed this relationship by giving special attention towards this matter. They listen to MTA and they have a special link with MTA. I receive letters from such people, and they write to me that they have experienced progress in their faith and conviction due to this relationship. Hence, this is a great source and every Ahmadi should seek benefit from it. Whilst directing our attention to express mutual love and affection towards one another and understanding each other's suffering and fulfilling the due rights, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "The truth of the matter is that everyone in the community is not at the same level in respect to their inner state. It cannot be that everyone is at the same state. After planting a field of wheat, do all of the crops grow the same? When we plant wheat, not all of them sprout. There are many seeds that go to waste. Some are eaten by birds, and some do not grow due to other factors. Thus, the seeds that are healthy and have the potential to flourish, they are not wasted. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has explained that the community prepared by God Almighty is akin to kazar'in, like a field of crops. Therefore, it is important to progress in this manner. Some people are less weak than others, whereas others have more knowledge in matters of faith. Some people excel others in certain pious traits, and everyone works in accordance with their capabilities. It is the responsibility of the people that are at a higher state to carry the weaker ones along with them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, "Hence, it should be a practice of ours that we assist our weaker brethren and become a support for them. What a great calamity it would be that if there are two brothers, one from them among them knows how to swim, but the other brother does not. Would it not be the responsibility of the former to save his brother from drowning? Or would he let him drown? It is incumbent upon him to save him from death. That is why the following has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, that ta'awanu alal birri wa taqwa, that is, and help one another in righteousness and piety. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, lighten the burden of your weaker brother and assist them in matters of faith, deeds, and through financial sacrifice. If they have shortcomings in their practical deeds, should one assist them by adopting them? Certainly not. In fact, one should look to fulfill them. If they are weak in matters of faith and your faith is strong, then one should look for ways to safeguard their faith. If they are weak financially, then if you are able to assist them, then you should do so. Otherwise, you should inform the administration of the Jamaat and they will look to help as much as they can. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, support them through medical assistance. You should look to help them with their physical health and treat any ailments. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, no community can be deemed one community until the stronger ones support the weaker ones, and this can only take place when one covers the faults of others. Instead of disclosing the faults of others, you should look to conceal their shortcomings. The companions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, were given this very teaching, that upon seeing the faults of the new Muslim converts, they should not become frustrated, as there were some from among the companions who also acted in the same manner. Similarly, it is vital for elders to treat their younger brethren with respect and show them kindness. Remember, a Jamaat cannot be deemed as one if they consume one another. i.e. if four friends sit down together, and one of them complains about a brother who is poor. It is not possible for one to consume another, but here the word consumed is used in the context mentioned by God Almighty, where he has stated that stealing and speaking ill of your fellow brethren is akin to eating the flesh of your dead brother. Thus, do not look at the weakness of others, and instead focus on their positive traits. The promised Messiah states, a community cannot be deemed as one community which consumes each other, and when four people sit down together, they complain about their poorer brother, and they point towards his shortcomings and highlight them. Then also look down upon poorer and weaker members of the community with disdain and dislike. Rather, strength lies in unity and becoming one, which increases mutual love and blessings. I often see that there are disputes over the most trivial of matters. The result of this is that our opponents pick up on these insignificant matters and then publish the incident in their newspapers completely out of proportion. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, in this manner they wish to misguide the public. They inform the people that they have such and such shortcoming, and since the general public do not research of their own, they are misled. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, then states, however, if there are no internal weaknesses, then no one will have the courage to publish such reports, and nor to print such articles that can mislead the public. Why do we not broaden our moral conducts? This can only occur when we widely propagate love, compassion, forgiveness, and beneficence, and we permit mercy, compassion, and concealing the faults of others to prevail in all matters. In other words, when we see the fault of an individual, we should look to conceal that fault rather than highlighting his shortcomings and revealing his weaknesses. In relation to this, a very strange custom has developed, in that even husbands and wives highlight each other's weaknesses and docu them to an extent that they begin to record them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "One should not severely scold the other over trivial matters, which become a source of causing the other grief or can be disheartening for them." Then, further elaborating on brotherhood and compassion, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, advises us by saying, "Our community cannot flourish until we truly have compassion for each other. If we wish to progress and thrive, then we must show each other true compassion. We should use all our capacities and love those who are weaker. Whosoever has the strength should harbour love for those who are weaker." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "I often hear that an individual saw another person stumble, and rather than extending him courtesy, that person looks at him with abhorrence and disgust. However, he should have prayed for that individual. Then, through love and compassion, he should explain to him the issue politely. However, instead of this, they increase in their malice. If one does not demonstrate forgiveness and does not show compassion, then the matter will only worsen and the consequences will be grave." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, "God Almighty does not approve of these actions. A jamaat can only be formed when people show compassion to others and conceal their faults. When such a condition is reached, then people become the limbs of the same entity and consider one another to be more than the actual brother. If an individual has a son who commits a mistake, his error is covered, and one would take him to one side and explain his mistake to him. He would never wish for that mistake to be disclosed. If one sees his son make mistakes in his daily activities, he will not wish for them to be unveiled, and therefore advises him accordingly. Even if it is one of his close relatives, they would wish to conceal his faults and not reveal them." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, then states, "When God Almighty declares believers as brothers, then are these the rights owed to one's brother?" Over here, brother means a close relative. They would not abandon the brotherhood they display in their daily routine. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, then presents the example of his relatives by saying, "I often seen Mirza Nizamuddin and others. Mirza Nizamuddin, as well as some other people, were opponents of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and were related to him, but also had moved away from religion altogether. They lived a life of unrestricted liberty, and yet when it came to any matter, all three of them would collude, leaving all matters to one side." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, then states, "Occasionally one can even learn from animals such as chimpanzees and dogs. Internal discord is entirely void of blessings. God Almighty reminded the companions about these blessings and brotherhood. Even if they spent gold equivalent of a mountain, they would not have developed the level of brotherhood they developed with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. God Almighty has created this community, and it is this type of brotherhood that He will establish." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "I have great expectations from God Almighty, as He has promised, جَعَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَوْكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ." That is, "that I will place those who follow thee above those who disbelieve until the day of resurrection." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, "Verily God Almighty shall establish a community which shall remain triumphant over those who disbelieve. However, presently these are days of trials and weakness." Those were days of weakness, and in this day and age the Ahmadis, especially in Pakistan, are passing through precarious times where the government, the laws of the land and administration are scheming against them even more than before. Therefore, in these current times, they need to make an extra effort in improving their conditions. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states that these are days of weakness, and they grant the opportunity to each and every one to bring about a reformation in themselves and improve their condition. To lament one another, hurt one's feelings, to injure one's sentiments by the use of harsh language, and to consider the weak and humble as lowly people is a sin. Now a new community with a new brotherhood has been established from among you. The earlier communities have ceased, and God Almighty has established a new community in which the rich, poor, young and old are all a part of it. Thus it is the duty of the poor to respect their honourable brothers, and it is the duty of the rich to help their poor and not consider them lowly and despicable. That is because they are brothers with one another, even though their fathers are not the same, but ultimately the spiritual father is the same for all, and they are the branches of the same tree. For our reformation, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has exhorted us to read the book Noah's Ark and has repeatedly urged us to read it. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "I have told my community on numerous occasions to not to merely rely on their bath, i.e. oath of initiation with me. Until you do not reach the depth of its essence, you cannot attain salvation. One who simply relies on the exterior aspects is bereft of the essence. It is not sufficient to only focus on the exterior shell until one does not seek to attain its deeper essence." The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "If the devotee does not carry out virtuous deeds himself, then the saintly personage of his master can be of no benefit. If a doctor writes a remedy for an individual, but he places it in a vault, he will gain no benefit from it. It is as if one receives a prescription from the doctor, but does not use it, and then claims that he was not cured. This is precisely the case of those suffering from spiritual ailments. If they fail to adhere to what is said, then they will avail no benefit." The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "They will certainly not derive any benefit from it, because benefit can only be derived if the prescribed practice is adhered to, which they have deprived themselves from it." The promised Messiah further states, "You should constantly study the book Noah's Ark and act according to it. قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. That verily he truly prospers who purifies himself." The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "There are thousands who are guilty of committing theft, adultery, immorality, drinking alcohol, and lead an evil life, and yet they claim to be from among the followers of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. But can they truly be considered as followers? Certainly not. A true follower is one who adheres to the teachings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him." Then, reciting the book Noah's Ark to the members of the Jamaat and urging them to read this book, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "In Noah's Ark I have presented my teachings, and it is essential for everyone to be aware of them, even if it be that every city's Jamaat organizes a jalsa, i.e. a gathering, and this is read out to them. It could be sent to an individual who is willing and also has the time to read it out, because if you distribute it to everyone, then even 50,000 copies will not be sufficient. However, in this way, it will not only propagate the message, but also establish unity amongst the Jamaat, which we seek to instill in them. Therefore, while arrangements should be made to read this out in the Jamaats, there should also be arrangements for it to be read out on MTA. Everyone should make this a part of their lives. One should read this themselves, as well as making an effort to adhere to it. In regards to saving oneself from sin and outlining the qualities of a true Ahmadi, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "Your duty now is to occupy yourself in supplication, istighfar, i.e. seeking forgiveness, worshipping Allah the Almighty, and the purification of one's inner self, and thereby make yourself worthy of the rewards of God Almighty, and draw his special attention which he has promised. Even though God Almighty has made great promises and prophecies in relation to me, which most surely will be fulfilled, but you should not take pride over them unnecessarily. Save yourself from every kind of malice, grudge, backbiting, arrogance, vanity, the overt and hidden forms of impiety, indolence and negligence. And remember, ultimately, it is the righteous who are granted success, just as God Almighty states that وَلَا الْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that is, and the end is for the God-fearing. Therefore, one should greatly reflect upon trying to become righteous, for ultimately, the end is for those who are righteous. May God Almighty enable us to become true Ahmadis and follow the teachings of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. May we fulfill the due rights of God Almighty and attain His pleasure. May we become those who bring about a reform in our practical condition and pay attention towards increasing our religious knowledge and also fulfill the rights of fellow mankind. As I have alluded to before, that during these days in particular, pray for the condition in Pakistan, and those residing in Pakistan should also pray a lot for themselves. May God Almighty protect them from every form of evil. May God Almighty also protect the country from the evils of the civil unrest which has developed in the country due to the clerics. You should also pray for the world in general as well, as they are rapidly heading towards war. Both Russia and USA are both busy in preparations, and in reality, both want to establish their superiority over the other, but the excuse given is that they wish to protect the rights of those being oppressed. However, in the guise of seeking to restore the rights of the oppressed, which also consists of Muslim countries, they want to destroy the Muslim countries. Therefore, may God Almighty guide the Muslims, and instead of seeking help from them, they make decisions for themselves and grant the rights of their people. And may the people fulfill the rights of their governments. And may God Almighty also destroy those terrorist organizations who are committing atrocities in the name of Islam. And may He guide both parties. Above all, may God Almighty enable them to recognize the Imam of the age, because without this, there is no other way for them to be saved. May God Almighty guide them, and may the Muslims, instead of being a part of this oppression, may they propagate love, affection, and brotherhood according to the true teachings of Islam, and may they fulfill the due rights of God Almighty.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ